We are what we think we are. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capel, California, with a thought for today. We are what we think we are. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you really are? Where are you going with your life? What is your intention with your life? What is your purpose with your life? We are what we think we are. And if we think that we are fine people, we are. If we think we are courteous and loving people, we are. If we think that we are the kind of person that we'd like to have as a friend, then we are. This is something we have to put forth in our consciousness every moment of every day. Because we do not live on just the concept alone. We live on the application of the concept. If we're going to fulfill our world and fulfill our life and fulfill who we are and be who we are, then it's very important for us to know who we are. We can accomplish any goal we like in our life. It's an easy thing to do that. It just takes dedication. Now, it doesn't take dedication as we think it takes. As they say, it takes 99% perspiration and 1% inspiration. Well, actually, it's the other way around. It's 99% inspiration and 1% perspiration. We, by every thought we think, we, by every attitude we have in our mind, bring forth who and what we are, bring forth our goals, bring forth the choice of who we think we are. And it has nothing to do with our effort, our perspiration. It has nothing to do with how difficult we apply ourselves, how intelligently we do what we know is right to do. When we are living constantly in the thought, I like me, when we're constantly living in the thought, all is in divine order now, then we act in that way. And there's only one way to act. And it just takes an instant to act that way. But to live in the consciousness, to live in the awareness, to live in the understanding of who and what I am. That's an inspiration that fills me every moment of my life. I say to myself, I like me. I like me. I like me. I don't need to tell other people that. Other people look at me and look at my life and they say, gee, that guy must like himself. That's a nice guy. That fellow has good attitudes. He has good purposes. He has good direction in his life. Hey, that's all right. It's not a matter that I go around perspiring and working and diligently showing everybody how wonderful I am, showing everybody what I believe, showing everybody what my convictions are, living what I am. You cannot live who you are. As much as we like to think we can. You cannot take a hammer and keep pounding nails in and learn how to pound a nail in. You cannot take a golf club and strike a ball and cause that ball to go where you want it to go. These are all inspiration things. These are all things that come from you knowing in your mind, me knowing in my mind, where I want to put that ball, where I want that golf ball to go, where I want the tennis ball to go, where I want any game ball to go. Where do I want my life to go? If I allow any thoughts that would demean, demoan, take down, destroy, disenfranchise who I am, I have torn down all that I have built up so far. The wonderful palace that I have been building is like nothing, and it falls in its own dust. Only when I stand true to my inspiration, only when my inspiration is 99% of the time and more, only then will my life fulfill whatever it is that I have set forth for it to do. Only then will I accomplish all of the great and wonderful goals that I have for myself. Only then, no other time. It doesn't mean one single thing for me or for anybody else. What my actions are, what my attitudes are, what my outward expression is. It's only what is my inward expression, what is my inspirational self, what is my intuitive self, what is it that I am in me? For anything out of me is of little regard. Anything that's an outer reflection in my world is of little consequence, because it is of no importance whatsoever. It does not drive me to accomplish the goals of my heart. It does not help me in any way to be something that presumably I'm not. Unless my inspiration is in high gear, unless my excitement for living, my excitement for being who I am in my thought world is the most exciting, most exciting and dynamic and powerful thing that I could ever watch in my life. And when I have it that way, then I can accomplish anything I set my heart to. Now, you can know how to play the piano, and you can play the piano quite well, and you can practice and practice and practice and practice, but you're really of little account until that moment comes when you fall in love with the piano, with the music, with the keyboard, with your fingers, with your heart, with your life, and you pour out the magic of what the composer intended to write in the magic of the music, in the purpose of the music, in the direction of the music. And when you begin to think on your own, when you begin to live the music that you're presenting, then you're doing it. It's only until that moment of inspiration comes that the music that you are presenting is from within you that the music is of any value to anyone. We all know mechanical musicians. These are musicians who play note perfect. They play every single note, every single nuance of that note correctly, but they do not put that together with heart. They do not put that together with the feeling of great joy and enthusiasm. They do not rumble with that music. It soars out of their being. It soars out of their eyes, out of their hands. I've seen a little boy playing on the piano. He's a gifted child, certainly a genius at the age of 3. And he's playing on the piano. Now, he didn't learn all this music. He heard it. He heard it and he instantly replayed it. The first time, he instantly replayed it. The second time, he put his heart into the music, and the music came out more magically, more wonderfully, perhaps, than the composer even did. But this little boy, he did not have practice. He did not have learned skills from his parents. He only had inspiration from within himself. We all have that inspiration in ourselves. We all have that genius inside of ourselves. We all have that ability where we can go out and we can do magical things. We all have the talent that says to us, there is no limit to what we can do If we have the inspiration, if we have the enthusiasm, if we have the joy, if we have the magic in our heart and soul to shine forth what is the concept, the ideal in us. A great painter is not a great painter because he went to a great painting school or because he knows his brushes and his paints. A great painter is one who has in his heart an idea for a painting. And then the great painter is inspired to perform that beautiful painting in his heart and to take that beautiful painting and let it shine out. Let it come forth on the canvas. And the colors just naturally fall into place, and he knows how to blend them. He knows how to paint them. He doesn't even have to make a drawing first. The drawing would be absolutely redundant. He just gets there, and the inspiration strikes him. The spiritual essence, the divine being within him, says, go, 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 and he goes. And he doesn't stop until he's finished. He may work 5 minutes, 5 days, a week or more, and he may not think of doing anything. He may not think of eating. He may not think of sleeping or going to the bathroom. He doesn't think of any of those things. All this inspired artist does is think of what he wants to present. Yes, Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci, great masters all. When Leonardo da Vinci did his work, he did it beautifully. When Michelangelo did his David statue, he took a stone that was rejected by all of the great sculptors. But Michelangelo saw within that stone a beautiful being, a beautiful man, a beautiful statue. And the world renowned rejoices over that statue every time anyone sees it. And they just say, that's great. Oh, that is super. It is all elegant. It is all divine. It is all magic. It is all inspiration. When Michelangelo was a young man, he did many great and magical sculptures. As he was an older man, he did other great and magical paintings and sculptures and other things. And why? Why could he do these things? Where did he get the time? Where did he get the inspiration? Where did he get the intelligence to do these things, to know these things, to be aware of these things? How could he paint the Sistine Chapel with all its diverse aspects representing the Bible stories? What a magical mind that intuitively knew how to tell the story, and none disagree. None say it is a poor representation. All say it is magic. It is magic. And just like all of us, we're magic. We're magic because of one thing. We're magic because we are inspired. And you can look at many things in life and you say to yourself, man, my goodness, that wasn't very inspired. That wasn't a very inspired song, a very inspired story, a very inspired expression. That wasn't a very inspired remark. We make it on every field. And as we make it on every field, we all come up with the same response, with the same answer. We say, how could anyone speak like that? How could anyone think like that? How could anyone do that? And yet, we don't really think that. When someone does something uninspired, we give it very little attention. We perhaps acknowledge it because it comes to our attention, but then we release it entirely. And then when we are inspired ourselves by something that someone has done as a work of inspiration, then we are so lifted up, we are so imaginative, we are so thrilled with what we see. And the thrill is never-ending. You look at hundreds of paintings by great artists and paintings by ordinary people who think they're artists. And not every painting of a great artist is a great painting. But every painting that you see that is great is from a great artist. Some artists may do maybe one or two magical, inspirational works of art. Some artists may do many more than that. Some artists may give of themselves so beautifully and so perfectly and so wonderfully that they just feel, I want to keep going, I want to keep going, I want to keep going. And they do. And they go from inspiration to inspiration. Someone may come along and say something, and instantly they're tuned down, tuned in, tuned on, and they go to their own garret, they go to their studio, and they go to work. It doesn't matter that there is noise outside, the children are playing. It doesn't matter that the ballpark is nearby and the noise of the enthusiasts for the ball game are there. It doesn't matter that the radio or television may be on in another room of the house and it comes through the walls. It may be all sorts of distractions. But an inspired artist, an inspired being, an inspired person is untouched by it. Oh, perhaps the first instant they may hear something, but once they get the inspiration, once that inspiration cuddles their heart, once that inspiration says to their intelligence, let me out, release me, let me go, and then once they get going on letting it go, something happens to that person, something happens to the format, to the manner in which the person is doing his art, and something happens to the art that is presented. It is so outstanding, so remarkable, so uplifting, so delightful, that everyone who sees it has a tingle in their heart. They have like the little jitters going through, oh, that's so wonderful, that's so beautiful, that's so fantastic, that's so magnificent. Are we ready to really put to work who we are, that inspiration that we are? Perhaps we have no specific talents. Perhaps we're not a writer or a painter or a sculptor. Perhaps we're not a musician or a poet or a singer. Perhaps we're not any one of these people who are the liberal arts, who are expressing the beautiful arts of painting and what have you. Perhaps we're not. But what we are is we are divine. Now you and I are divine. There's nothing we can do about it. We cannot make it go away. We cannot make it come out. We cannot make anything happen. But what we can do, and this is how the magic begins, what we can do, we begin to think, what is it I want to say? What is it I want to express? What is it that I want to outpicture in my life, my world, my affairs, in me, that I do by being aware of my divine self. And as I start liking myself, I become aware of how likable I am. And as I start liking myself, I become aware of how likable the world is in which I live. And as I start liking myself, and I do this just by merely saying, I like me, I like me, I like me. As I like myself in this manner, I begin to respond to the inspiration within me, which says, I've got to get out, I've got to come out, I've got to come out. And we knew it was there, we heard it before, but surely not us to be this marvelous expression of all good, not us, but yes, truly us. Yes, truly, it is the divine within us seeking to come out, express itself, reveal itself, give itself to the world, and in giving itself to the world, we express that illumination that's within us. We express that inspiration that's within us. We express our divinity that is who we are. It's exciting. We have turned our face away from this inspiration, thinking, surely not us. Not us. We could never aspire to any great inspirational expression and have anybody else appreciate it too. We could never do that. At least that's what we keep telling ourselves. We could never do that. But can we do that? Oh, yes, we can. We can do it all the time. Now, how do we start by getting going on who we are inside of ourselves to being who we are inside of ourselves? How do we get going on living that divine self that we are? How do we get going on expressing that in every avenue of our life? How do we get going on letting the inspiration, that illumination within us, sparkle out? How can we open the door? How can we accept it? How can we be aware of it? Surely not I, we so often say. Yes, surely not I, whenever I think, surely not I. But when I start illuminating my beingness with the truth about myself by saying, I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. When I start saying that in a chant that just never stops, I don't know what's happening at first. I don't know what's taking place at first. I just like me. And I say I like me, and I begin to look at myself differently. I begin to look at myself and say, I am a good person. I am a thoughtful person. I am a wonderful person. And the more I say that, the more I outpicture that in me, the more I illumine the inner man, and the inner man lets go of its own pure divinity, its own inspiration. And as my inner man lets go of who and what I really am, when it lets go of who and what I really am, that which I am shines forth. Now, we don't really know when it's happening, but we do know that we begin to feel good about ourselves. And that's the first and most important thing on learning how to reveal the divinity within. To feel good about ourselves. Now, how do I feel good about myself? Well, on everything I think, I say, hey, that's a great idea. I look at a little leaf opening up out of a flower bud, and I think, what's that leaf doing coming out of the flower bud? My goodness, doesn't it know that it's the flower petals that's supposed to come out? And I'm making an observation. I'm not denying the truth of it, but I'm making an observation. And so then I look further, and I see it truly is a great leaf, and the leaf had encompassed the entire flower blossom, the little tiny flower blossom, and then the leaf unfolded itself and opened itself, and the flower blossom became greater and greater, and pretty soon the flower blossom spread itself far beyond where the leaf had ever thought to go. And I think, wow, that is beautiful. That's fantastic. And then I go further. I think how each petal is a divine perfection. Each petal is absolutely perfect. Each petal is almost uniquely, distinctly the same, yet different. Each petal brings to its own expression, its own nature, something so utterly fantastic that I find it awfully hard to believe it. So I stop trying to believe it, and I just accept it. It is there. It is there. And I see it, and I know it. And I have enjoyed seeing the time-lapse photography of the opening of that blossom. Oh, it may have been time-lapse photography of my own eyes as I sat there spellbound for 5-10 a day. It doesn't take long. The flowers open in a day, and they close at night oftentimes. And if I want to watch, they delight in my presence. The flowers are saying indeed to each of us, you understand me. You understand. You know I'm something very special. You know I'm something so fantastic. I'm something so joyous. I'm something so magical. Ah, yes. A mother looks at her infant child and sees the child in the crib, sees the child as it takes steps and steps. The father doesn't see it happening moment by moment, but the mother does. The mother sees the child as it drinks and eats and as it processes the food that it has. The mother sees the child as it finds its fingers, as it points to objects. The mother sees the child as it seeks to speak, seeks to express itself, seeks to speak out in words that it has no dictionary yet. Little by little, the mother gives the child a word, a thought, an idea, and the child begins to reflect it back. When the mother watches very closely, she sees the child unfolding more gloriously than the flower that came out of its bud. And she sees the child coming forth like her magic. The mother is the artist. She's not the artist in so far as she makes it happen, but she was part of the action. She was the mother of the child. And her love and her joy and her feeling of magic for that child allows that child to come forth and express itself in ways that she would have never thought possible before, in ways that seemed almost impossible. And then the child crawls, and the child stands, and the child walks, and the child talks, and the child never shuts up. And the mother, who understands, is delighted, saying, that is my work of creation. That's my work of magic. This is my child that has come forth and to express something even more magical than I could ever have believed it would do. I am the artist here. This is my creation. But if the artist would go away, the creation would still unfold and still be glorious and beautiful. perhaps not exactly the same as it would have been with the inspiration of the mother guiding it along the way, but it is its nature to unfold. It is the nature of art to be revealed. It is the nature of sculpture to come forth. It is the nature of all things good and true to be revealed by me and by you. It's our nature to do this. And the inspiration is within us to do it. We may use a flower as our awareness, or a child as our awareness. We may use our own inspiration as our awareness. But as we awaken to the reality of who and what we are, as we awaken to the reality that we are the inspiration, unique, as we say of each snowflake, each snowflake is different from another. No two snowflakes in the universe are the same, and yet they are so momentarily with us. We are fantastic. We are the illuminator of the universe. And by our thoughts, and by our expectations, and by our inspiration, and by our illumination, we bring these thoughts into manifestation. The thoughts are already manifest. They are already fulfilled. They are already revealed. They are already completed. They are already absolutely done. But now it's up to you. It's up to me to be aware of my illumination, to be aware of my inspiration, to be aware of who and what I am. And how do I become aware of who and what I am? How do I become aware of my illumination? How do I become aware of it? By being excited about living. I become aware of my illumination by being excited about every single thing I do. Did you ever lay down on your tummy and watch an ant crawl along and study the ant and say to yourself, what a marvelous creature! What a beautiful expression of divinity! What fantastic qualities! And as you study the ant more and more, you find the ants are a community. They are an organization. They are a pattern. They do all sorts of things. They live in harmony with one another. They're magic, magic, magic. And when we get that enthusiasm for the ant, we get the enthusiasm for the spider as he wends his webs across pathways and you brush them with your face or your hand and you've knocked down hours of his work and it doesn't matter. He just goes right back to work, putting up another web, putting up another network of beautiful flowing lines. And when the morning dew strikes it, it's the most glorious thing you could ever imagine. And when the evening sun sparkles off of the glistening glow of each little line of silk, each little line of thread, you marvel at the idea that this could go on and on and on. And out of such a tiny thing like a spider could come miles and miles of thread like this. Wonderful, wonderful, beautiful. We should never cease to admire the creation that's around us, already revealed. Because it is then and there, it is then and there, and it is that way that we find the illumination for other beautiful expressions. Who would have thought of a wheel? Who would have thought of an automobile? Who would have thought of an airplane? Who would have thought of food processed and put in cans to keep it for a long period of time? Who would have thought of animals working for human beings. Who would have thought of animals being the pets, the wonderful, joyful, exhilarating pets of human beings? Who would have ever thought that you would lay on your back in a lovely field of clover and look up at the beautiful sky, crystal clear and blue, and you watch the clouds drifting by, and you see them in all their majesty, and each cloud forms another facade of some sort. You say, oh no, I'm just creating that. No, you aren't. And if you wished, and the day will come for that very soon, you look at that cloud and you will see a beautiful hill. You'll see a beautiful house, a beautiful person. And then you'll say to yourself, and so it is. And then right before you will that beautiful form manifest itself, and you walk into it, around it, about it, and it has manifest as a physical form. And you enjoy it, and you delight in it, and you thrill in it, and you excite in it, and you think, wow, this is something so fantastic. And then you turn around and you walk away, for you have other wonderful dreams to fulfill, other wonderful goals to manifest. You have other wonderful expressions of all that is good and beautiful to be revealed. And that dream that you saw manifest, that cloud that became that wonderful person, that cloud that became that hill, that house, that cloud that became something very real, for you to touch it, walk into it like a house and enjoy it. And also for you to turn around without a second thought and walk away from your creation on to other creations and on to other creations. We are just at the beginning of understanding, of being aware of the magic that we are, of the divinity that we are, of all the things that we are. We're just at the beginning. Now, are we excited enough to have this be magical? They talk about God creating all things in 6 days and giving a paragraph or two to the creation of the earth and the animals and all the different things. Now, you've been there, you've done that, because when the story is told, you instantly look around you and you say, yeah, there it is. There's the creation that was done in just those 6 days. There's the creation. Now, what more creation is going on? Creation didn't stop with that creation story. We want to call it the first creation story, but that was only one of many creation stories that happens one after the other, and is always happening. And we turn away from that cloud we manifest as a house, even though we walked inside and it could have been ours. We could have stayed there and made a home there. But we walked away for other dreams and other images and other ideals that we have. For ours is to learn how to be aware. And as we learn how to be aware, we will come to the realization that we are all. We are all that could ever exist, all that ever was, ever will be, and is right now. All exists in you, in me, as the reality of all right now. And if we were to ask ourselves, what is the allness? If we were to ask ourselves, just delineate this allness, or sort of recogitate this allness, speak about it, give it some names, we could do it for a long time. But soon we'd be bored. Because ours is not a life of living the past. Ours is not a life of living that which is already existed. We don't live that which is already in existence. We live that which is the newness of our heart, the inspiration of our soul, the aspect of our being that says, hey, I want to outpicture this magic that I am. I want to reveal this magic that I am. I want to give to the world this magic that I am. I want to do it now. I want to do it now. Oh my, yes. And that doesn't mean for one second saying that you've finished your job. For one second saying that creation is done. For one second to say that now is the time for all to be revealed. For as we live each instant of our life, we reveal more and more and more. And we will never end revealing all the magic that our soul has to give to us. We will never end revealing all of the wisdom, all of the genius, all of the inspiration, because we are a flaming furnace of inspiration, roaring away joyfully, shining out to all the universe the glory that we are, the wonder that we are, the magic that we are. Oh my, yes. And today is just the first day of the rest of my life. Today is just the first act on this wonderful drama that I'm playing. Oh yes, this act has had several thousand, maybe millions, maybe billions of years before it. But coming now are millions, billions, and zillions of years, which will compound all of the things that are yet to be revealed, yet to be understood, yet to be aware of. And there is nothing too magical, too grand. There's nothing too exciting. There's nothing too beyond imagination. Because all is there, and all is now, and all is here for us to enjoy, for us to claim and name and be excited about it, to be illumined about it, to be revealed about it, to look at all things and say how great it is and how great it always will be. There's nothing in this world that we are looking for that does not already exist within us. There's nothing on the outer that we're looking for. Oh, we may see it in the outer with our senses and so forth, but with our heart, with our inspiration, with our inner beingness, we will see before we ever see in the outer the magic of the allness that there is, the magic of the genius that there is, the magic of the me and the you that there is. And as we see this, we'll say to ourselves, wow, what a fabulous expression of all that is good and beautiful. What a most remarkable beingness am I. And then we'll go on. And this is the wonderful part of our life, never ending. We'll go on dreaming new dreams. We'll dream our wildest dream, and what we thought was our wildest dream yesterday is our reality today, and tomorrow's new wildest dreams. And all of those that are yesterday, today, and tomorrow are right now. They're right in our heart. They're right in our soul. They're right in our beingness. They're right where we are. And as we open ourselves to this awareness of all that is right within us, we say to ourselves, could anything be more wonderful than this? Could anything be more grand than this? And then we answer to ourselves, we have only begun. We have only begun to express the magic of our soul, the magic of our being. And the illumination, the inspiration, the joy, the excitement that comes, it just grows every day. Exponentially, it manifests in our life. And every day it says to us, "My good and faithful one, all that is yours. Reveal it now in your life, for it is yours. It is mine. It is done." Oh, what a wonderful world we live in. I love you. I love you. I love you.